load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Yeah, and deeper in debt is what you get when you raise the debt ceiling $6 trillion. Good morning and welcome to Wealth Money Radio, July 20th, 2019. I'm Greg Soderbergh. I'm here with Byron Dale. Wealth Money Radio was an idea that Byron started, and it's about what we use for money, how it's created and put into circulation, and how that affects our lives, and proposed legislative solution we call the American Transportation Act. Wealth Money Radio is unique. You'll look far and wide to find a resource like Wealth Money Radio. Together, Byron and I have nearly 65 years of money research, study, thought, and action. Our website is wealthmoney.org. You can read, download, print some of our publications, Rosenbridges Without Taxing or Borrowing, The Switch, Education in Our Debtonomy, Tales from the Treasury, Modern Money Secrets, and some others are available right through Byron. So let's talk about our debtonomy, the ridiculous state of our money, and what should be done. Call in, again, the number is 347-884-9499. Good morning, Byron.
Good morning, and I'll just turn it over to Rule because I'm quite interested to see what the Federal Reserve Chairman had to say, and I understand that's what he's going to talk about. So you just go ahead, Rule.
Yeah, it was an interesting week in the financial sector this week. Most people that had any, dealing with watching the news or C-SPAN, some of those stations, the Federal Reserve Chairman and, of course, Facebook, the founder of a new currency, a cryptocurrency, that was all in the news this week. It seems there's a lot of shakeup in the financial sector. People are getting a little scared that people are uncomfortable with the debt money we have. And So anyway, the discussion this week was how is the Federal Reserve going to deal with this whole idea of someone going to a cryptocurrency, especially someone like Facebook, and what Trump had to say to it. It's pretty shocking. But the Federal Reserve Chairman was on this week. I was there. C-SPAN for about an hour. He was on there. They were discussing the state of the economy, and he said that he was quite honest, actually, and he did bring up the cryptocurrency of Facebook before it actually was on another panel by a Senate hearing. And but the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell was discussing the state of the economy, and he said it wasn't looking as good as they had expected, which is interesting because, you know, everybody says, you turn on any news channel and they say Trump's in control of the economy, but then when it really comes down, the Federal Reserve Chair says he is. So I'd like to know which one it really is, but I think we know who it is. It's those that print and issue the currency are the ones that are in control. But he said that he was talking about our debt and what it was doing to younger generations, and he was actually brutally honest, and he said we're leaving a trail of debt for these younger generations that sooner or later is gonna you know, wreak havoc on their lives, and it's something they will have to deal with. And he said sooner or later the Federal Reserve and the American government's gonna have to realize that it's an injustice what they're doing to future generations. And he said it's the debt is going out of control, and Trump's going to take it to levels we've never seen before. But he said that the nice thing about even in a downturn, they can borrow at substantially low rates, which he said that's the good thing about having the Federal Reserve. It's you can borrow at low rates, which doesn't create that much interest. And I thought, you know, that's really that's an oxymoronic statement. That it doesn't matter how much interest. It's a fact of the matter, there is interest. So yeah, having said that, he at least was honest that something has to be done eventually, that the debt is out of control. Two, Trump's going to take it to higher levels we've never seen before. And the third statement was, it's okay. That's why we can borrow at low interest rates. But the fact that he said we have to borrow right there puts a nail in the coffin that we have to borrow. And I thought, boy, isn't that something? We can't even work for our own money. I mean, we do, but we have to borrow it, everything we get. So that's we'll talk about it. Let's talk about that for a little bit before we get into the Facebook thing, if that's all right.
Sure, go ahead. I'm interested. If I don't mind my saying so, it's funny. Why don't one of them read the Constitution and says Congress shall coin the money? And it's clearly a verb. It couldn't be a noun because it couldn't be a thing. It has to be an action. So the action, if they can create the money, and we all know that they do. The Treasury does mint the coins, and they also print the currency. But what nobody ever gets told is they don't put any of that into circulation. They give it all to the banks or sell it to the banks for the cost of printing or the cost of the minting. And then you got to borrow in order to get any of it into circulation so you can spend it. And it's pretty easy to see if that's true, and we know it is. There's no question about it. Because I remember when Obama, he raised it way bit more than anybody had ever dreamed before, and Trump will, of course, because he don't have any choice unless he does what the Constitution says and has the Treasury create the money and spend it into circulation for roads and bridges and for post offices, like it clearly says in plain English. Then you wouldn't need to borrow any money because you could print your own money. And if you printed it for a special reason, well, then it would be printed for that reason and something that would benefit everybody in the nation without any debt. But somehow they just can't seem to get to wrap their arms around simple, so simple as that. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and you and I agree on that, and I think it's pretty hard to be in that position of power and understanding, and not understand, you know, that we're the ones that are being played. I mean, you know, I just read there's a brand new book out as of a week ago, and it's by the author who wrote the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Kiyosaki.
He was an idiot
that
didn't know what he was talking about. Go ahead.
But he wrote this new book, and it's called Fake, and Fake Everything. And he said the American people don't realize that they are extracting your labor is being extracted so the rich can basically live and not, you know, pay any taxes, because we're the ones we will continue to be taxed because that's all we're worth, I guess, is what it comes down to. And then the rich, you know, they don't have to because they're in it. In fact, that was in the news 2 days ago. One of the things on Fox News, they said, well, can't tax the rich, because if you tax the rich, then there wouldn't be any wealth because they're the ones that provide all the wealth for everybody, huh? That's an interesting statement.
What nonsense. The working people produce all the wealth for the nation, not anybody else, not corporations for sure, because I guarantee you all them guys at the heads of it, they get millions for their labor and time, but the average person gets $15 or so, maybe some of it goes up a little higher, some of them, but it's the bulk of the average day worker, that's about all they get, and then they can't figure out why that it doesn't work. And it's insane, and yet they'll go ahead and have interest at least 60% of the cost of everything. So, and even if the interest isn't, you know, real high, like it down to 3 or 4% now, it's still growing the debt faster than the money supply. So you can never keep up. And I don't see how that's so hard to understand. And it, I don't understand how this, what's one of the group that you talked about was talking about creating their own money and what they're going to do about it. Because when I tried that, my gosh, they got so excited, they sent 42 cops out to kill me and stop me from doing it. Well, why would they be any different than any other ordinary citizen? How do they get this right to create money of any kind?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, yeah, well, I don't hear anybody talking about that. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, that's an interesting topic because it all ties in. I think, you know, everybody knows there's a problem, and all you have to do is look around. In fact, I just had a conversation with the head of the Republican Council in the state of Wyoming, and they're telling me some pretty amazing things. But, you know, she told me that even their state, here's a state, the biggest coal companies in the nation, just went bankrupt, and overnight, all these people, and their checks bounced. The state is having a hard time making ends meet, just like every other state. And so everybody realizes there's a problem. And then, of course, on C-SPAN this week, when they were discussing, when they had the Facebook currency creator, who the new currency is called Libra. Which is interesting, but I think it, in some way, I think it means liberty. It means breaking away or something in a different language. But they said that they did that because it solves problems that people want. And our Senate was really upset. And they're like, well, you know, we are the ones that, you know, have the power. And basically the way I understood it, well, if it was, then why aren't you exercising that power? Then you know.
Why don't they do it then?
Yeah. So they go out and they create this Libra, and one of the answers, and I thought it was a great answer, he said, the founder of it, who works with Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and Amazon, he said, people are tired of this whole thing of not having control of their own, monetary life. They're tired of the manipulation, is what he said. And he said this is one way, you know, people can start to go independent. And they're like, well, you can't do that, you know.
Wait a minute! I was told back in the day that, my gosh, you could the only money you could use is that which has been declared legal tender by the federal government.
Yeah.
Did they get declared legal tender by the federal government?
No. They're not going to get declared.
Then why aren't they shutting them down?
Well, they are sort of shutting them down. It's kind of cooled off right now. But, you know, I want to go back to this Powell Fed chairman expressing his concern about this huge debt and the injustice to the future generation. Well, let me say, this thing's been going on for a long time, and past generations have suffered injustices because of this debt money system. And, you know, it isn't something, and maybe they're just saying that in the future because, like, that makes it look like, you know, it's really okay now, but in the future, and they're just putting off the ability they just want to keep doing what they're doing as long as they can, And, you know, this increase in the debt ceiling by President Trump, we have a lot of people out there who think highly of President Trump. And I did at one time. But I've even heard him called our beloved president. And it really struck me how a beloved president could put his beloved people another $6 trillion in debt. When that happens, the economy will do better for a little while, but it's just like an article Byron wrote about China in 2004, I think it was, called The Chinese Connection. And up until that time, we hadn't heard really much about the prosperity of China and the progress of China. But when the People's Bank of China started making personal loans to the people of China, up until then, they had only lent to the state of China. Well, what happened then is when they started making personal loans to the people of China, a lot of money was created, and all of a sudden, great things started happening, and we saw it, and China came in the news, and you see their buildings and their roads and everything and what they're doing. But then Byron also wrote at the time that sooner or later, that debt will catch up with the people. It'll drive their cost of living higher. The cost of wages will need to be higher, and all these things will start coming. And that's what will happen with the $6 trillion debt ceiling increase. That's what will happen here again. It'll be good for a while, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're going to have some more injustices. But Byron wrote that, like, that had to be like at least 15 years ago, that prediction. And now today, China, because of the, you know, the add-on payable cost of interest into their cost of living, the laborer's cost of living is going up and up, but their wages can't meet that. And so now what is China doing? It's going, looking to Laos, Thailand, and Cambodia for cheap labor. Isn't that what America was doing when we started shipping our stuff overseas, looking for cheaper labor? And then we all look at this China about how wonderful, wow, look at China. And you know what? China's in the same boat because the world is operating on a debt money system. And I don't understand, is it getting to the point where, like, Chairman Powell was kind of talking about this, but are we getting this thing finally to the point where they realize we're going to have to come out and just admit we got to stop using debt for money? But I wonder if they just think that's going to be a huge shock to the world, to tell the world.
Oh, I don't think so, because you can. I was looking at Facebook for a while before I got on the radio show, and there was a whole bunch of people talking about it, and not a single one of them, they was all upset with whether you have capitalism or whether you don't, and this and that, and not a single one of them addressed the issue of actually who creates the money and how it gets into circulation and what the consequences for the people are. And until they wake up and do that, and they're not, in fact, Greg just said earlier before the show started that he was trying to explain it to a guy and he just couldn't handle it and run off. And yeah. I have seen that so many times. Years ago, I was at a PCA meeting that they had once a year or whatever time, and there was a guy there from the Federal Intermediate Credit Bank of Omaha. He's where PCA gets all their money. And I asked him a little bit about how money works, and he said, well, it's kind of hard, but he said it's kind of like this. If your grandmother gave you some money from some other country, well, you could loan it out, and then you could loan some more out because you loaned that out. And I put it on Facebook where a guy in Minnesota, a lawyer for a big outfit downtown, they said, well, it's created because if you started with $1,000 and you could loan $900 and then you could loan $800 and on, and then you could come up with $5,000 worth of money that you've loaned. Well, that sounds pretty nice, but I said, well, where did the $5,000 come from? Because I guarantee you, if you loan my money, then there's no new creation of money. So the money supply can't grow. And I gave a speech in North Carolina, and I went through that, and I said, we'll do some cowboy math, and then we'll do some banker math. And so I got up there and I said, okay, now we've got 100 cows in the corral, so we're going to take 90 out of them and put them in the next corral, and we're going to keep 2 in there, or 10 in there, and then we're going to leave 10 in that corral and put 80 in the next one and on down the line. And when I got through, I asked them, well, now how many cows are they? And everybody in the room said 100, just like there was to start with. So I did it just like the bankers do, and they all said, well, 5 times that much. Well, I'm sorry, you cannot loan more money than you actually have if you're loaning somebody else's money, because there is no more money. But if you're creating money when you make a loan, then it's no problem to have all the money you need. But the problem is, and it's very simple, I was in a courtroom one time, and I explained this to a judge, and so I said, well, I'll show you what's wrong. And so I said, okay, now you all, there was 7 lawyers in the room, and I all said, now, you all agree that banks create money? And they said, yes. Well, do you all agree that they charge interest? Yes. Do you all agree that they have to put up collateral? And they all agreed. And so I said, okay, now I'll be the banker, and this lawyer here, standing here, will be the rancher, farmer, or the borrower. And okay, so I'll loan him $1, and now he has to put up collateral, and he agreed. So he said he'd give me his pin for collateral. And I said, now you have interest, right? Yeah, and so interest. Okay, so I said, now there had to be a first one sometime, and they all agreed. So I said, this is the first one, and I've decided not to loan anymore. So please pay me the $1.10 you owe me. And he looked at me, and he looked at his hand, and he looked again, and then he reached in his pocket and took out the pen and laid it on the dollar and gave it to him. And I turned to the judge and I said, well, that's the problem. It didn't take long to get his property, did it? And the judge just got wild out of his head. I mean, he was mad as thunder, because apparently he saw it and couldn't handle it. And see, that's the problem, because the people just can't handle the simple truth of how money works. And they'll do everything and anything to go around it, except just to address a simple concept that when you add interest to the debt, when you borrow something, you only get what you borrow. When interest is kicked in, well, then your debt grows, but your money supply doesn't. And so the debt has to constantly grow. And Greg was talking about that earlier, that it will always constantly grow. And now Trump, he's no different than anybody else. Unless he go reads the Constitution and actually follows it, he's no different than everybody else. He's going to go to the bank and borrow some more money. As far as they're concerned, that's the only way you can get it. But the law actually says anything that the Treasury creates is legal tender. But the only one that can do that, create money without, you know, being a Treasury, is the bank. Well, then how in the heck can Facebook or whoever you was talking about, how can they create brand new money? Because I guarantee you they get really nasty when somebody does that for the benefit of pardon me, for the benefit of themselves. Well, has anybody really explained how they're going to create that money, and how is it going to come into circulation? How is it going to work?
Yeah, it's sort of a little that I read once. It said that you'd be able to buy them, but also some people will be able to get them for free. And, you know, but it still begs the question, all the debt we have out there is not payable in Libras. All the debt we have out there is payable in bank-created money, which there's a constant growing shortage of. And the bank is in payment for your mortgage, your car payment, or anything else like that. And so what you're going to have is two systems, if you have, side by side. And
well, I don't see how you're going to do that, because all the banks have to do is say, we won't accept that because it's not legal tender. Therefore, you've committed a crime.
Well, the other thing is, you're only going to be able to use it within those Libra circles. You know, the banks aren't going to accept it. So the debt that we have now that's been created by bank loans, it's going to keep on growing with time, and we're going to keep having the same problems. And I just don't know why. And I said it. Here's the deal. At the intro of the show, I always try to say why Wealth Money Radio and wealthmoney.org is unique. And the reason we're unique is because this is the only source that will tell you all the money is created as loans, okay? If we don't borrow, there is no money. Okay? That means we...
And when you borrow from a bank and pay interest, well, then your debt grows. Because if I borrow $100 and then I pay 10% interest on it, well, I've got to end up paying 110, you know, percent to pay off my loan. And a lot of people say, you read it all the time and they're a bunch of idiots. Well, but you can go work for the bank. Well, not everybody can work for the bank. You know, it's such a stupid thing. And you get some guys like the guy wrote
That David guy,
the Federal
from Donaty.
You know, when they got started their book, and he that was his solution. Well, if you went and worked for the bank, well, then you could get paid. And I have sat down and I have worked that for hours. And I guarantee you, no matter how you come out, in the end, somebody has to go broke because they don't have the money to pay it.
Well, and the other thing
I spent
about that,
hours making sure I got this, went through that all right. And then we had a guy on the show one time, and he said you could do that. And so I went down, and I really set out and figured out how he'd set it. And of course, by his own figures, you had to change the interest rate and everything else with every move in order to get it to work. And I guarantee you that don't happen in real life. The only difference between us is we're actually taking the time to really study the money issue. And we have written to the Treasury, and they have told us exactly how it works, that you've got to borrow it. And then you'll turn around, and a guy wrote, and on Facebook said, well, I got all, he always saying something, you don't have a clue what he's talking about. But, and he said, well, I get all that from the Federal Reserve and the Treasury, and so are you telling me that they lied to us? And so it's so clear that they do, because I have a thing from the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, and they go through how all this money is created by loaning other people's money. And then when they get in, there's one paragraph that, but of course it really can't work that way, because you can't create new money that way. Because if I loan you my money, then there is no more money than I loaned you.
Yep.
And if I loaned you at interest, well, then you're going to have to come up with more money from someplace. And if that's the only source of money, then you can't get it. It's pretty simple, but I find out most people just cannot deal with that subject. They just cannot. In fact, the guy at the FBA that I was talking about earlier, and I said, well, if that can do that, well, then why can't I have a calf and sell it 5 times or 9 times? That's basically what you're saying the banks are doing. Loan it 9 times. Well, why can't I sell my calf at 9 times? And he just got pale, and man, they hauled him out of there so fast you couldn't hardly catch it with your eyes, even getting him out of there. Because see, they can't. And Greg and I actually sat in the Federal Reserve boardroom and we discussed this, and I did the same thing. I loaned everybody some money on each side of me, and then we had the interest, and then they couldn't pay the interest, and of course, and immediately all the Federal Reserve members had left the room. The only thing was left was us. And they know it's a lie. They know it's a crook. But it's very beneficial to them, and they're not going to tell anybody how it works or admit that how it works, because it's too profitable for them and for the buddies that work around them that they'll loan all the money to and probably never have to pay it back or anything else. And that way, big corporations can get filthy rich, and they don't have to share any of it with the people who do the work, because you go into all them companies, if you check them out, the big boys will get up to 1,000 times as much as everybody else gets, and if it was down to 10 times, they would still get way more money than the average worker gets for putting in all the hours and doing the work. But nobody wants to address that. You can't talk about it because everybody gets upset and that's not true. But they can never tell you why it isn't true or how it does work, because
those people don't want
to believe that they have got into a system that cannot survive in the long run. Go ahead.
Those people that talk about you could go work for the bank and get paid to get the interest, you know, well, to me that says that the bank's going to pay them, and that they wouldn't be in debt for that money. And right there, if that's what they're thinking, then they need to understand, well, what happened there is the bank created money and it spent it into circulation with no debt. And this is exactly what they used to do in this country. Those that say it has to be debt don't work any other way. The fact of the matter is, in America, for a while, they set up a foundation for it to work that way. That they wanted the people to be free, not slaves. I mean, come on. We're trying to free from the King of England. Why would they want to put themselves to be debt slaves right off the bat in this brand new country called America? So they put into action principles whereby if the people wanted to use a raw resource, gold or silver bullion, and bring it to their mint, the mint would stamp it into coins free of charge. In other words, they turn that production into declared money, fiat money, okay, but it was debt-free money, and return it to the producer so that money actually represents what the people produced and what they owned. And then they could trade that into circulation for other things. And there was no debt involved. So the fact of the matter is, historically, money can be debt-free. Money does not have to be loaned into circulation. And so I just want to tie that in with, because I never really thought about it before, and then people use that argument, you could work for the bank to pay the interest, and then the bank would pay you. And it's clear we all can't work for the banks, but we all use our roads and bridges. The Treasury could pretend it was a bank, okay? And it could create the money, and it could spend it to us for producing these roads and bridges, and it would be a payment, and it would work just like you accept your paycheck. You don't feel like you're in debt for your paycheck. You earned it. You worked so much, and the boss paid you. And it gets back to what Rule said earlier. Of course, now under this system, you can't get paid for what you do unless somebody's in debt for the money. And quite frankly, we're all in debt for it. So quite frankly, we're all borrowing our paychecks. We're getting paid with borrowed money that we have to pay back. So Wealth Money Radio talks about being free. We're using debt for money. It's all created as debt, and we're slaves to it. And it's a shame that we won't face up to the fact in America we don't want to be slaves. And let's fix this. Let's just have the money created and spent into circulation. It's that damn simple. And you're not going to hear this anywhere else because everybody just skirts around it and pecks at the sides a little bit here and there, but they just can't seem to just come to the truth. There you go.
Well, because they've been so absolutely misguided and lied to. And you got to remember also, when they put in that 1792 coinage act that she was talking about, already Hamilton had got it in so the banks would create the money. And see, that right there caused a big problem, because if they passed a law that a dollar was a weight of silver and an eagle was a weight of gold, well, then what was the banks creating? And the banks is creating most of the money. And the only one I've ever heard to just talk about it was a Jackson from Georgia that said, well, that can't work in the long run, and we're seeing it can't work, and everybody's beginning to see it can't work. And Trump is no different than anybody else unless he gets off his dead ass and reads the Constitution and then goes to do something to actually do it. He's going to do just like all the rest of them did, go borrow some more money. And every year, if you go back and check, the debt constantly goes up and up. Only now it's getting to where more people's complaining about it. And you get stupid people like Ron Paul that says, well, we can just not spend so much. Well, that's fine. But if it's not hard to borrow money, and then if you get some money the government borrowed and spend into circulation and you get some of that, well, yeah, you can personally pay back your loan. No problem, but that don't mean you got rid of the debt. All you did was shift the debt to somebody else. And that's what people's got to understand. A guy can be a millionaire and not have any debt, but to do that, he's had to shift the debt to somebody else someplace. And the Library of Congress clearly said that. Pardon me, the NSA Treasury clearly said that, because when we ask him, okay, money's created as loans, well, what does the money create? How does the money get created to pay the interest? And they wrote back and said, well, that comes from somebody else's borrowed money. And now I'd like to get back to Rue to see if he says wants to say anything more.
Yeah, of course.
everything is you're saying is you know, dead on. And you know, the people need to realize that these leaders are not what, going back to the system. If the money is borrowed, who is everybody in servitude to, including the president? And I keep you tell people he's not going to work to your benefit because he can't. His hands are tied. He's in fact mm-hmm. he's more tied to it. He has to do their bidding, you know, because he's one with them. But last week in when he was called out on, or when he was frustrated about all these cryptocurrencies. One of the things that really got under my skin is he said that the Federal Reserve money was the only true money in the world, and there was nothing else any better anytime, anywhere, and never will be. And he said that's just the way it is. And I thought, well, wait a minute, he's either not read the Constitution, he's a deceiver, or both, or what have you. But throughout history, there were multiple currencies, and I don't know. I know you know this because you've been understanding this longer than me. But lately, for the past couple months, I've been studying currencies historically dating back to. Well, it doesn't matter. Dating way, way, way back. We're talking to the Egyptian times and everything, and there was multiple currencies. And the one thing that always stood out is that image on that currency, that was the most important factor. And if you know, if a king's image was on that currency, you were serving that king. Now, I don't know about people out there listening. When it says Federal Reserve note on your paper, that's your king. That's what you're serving. It doesn't say United States note. It says Federal Reserve note. That's a private, independent financial organization that has no allegiance to anyone other than its investors and everything else. And our Constitution strictly says that we, our Congress, is supposed to coin and issue our money. That way, we would know who we're serving and know that we are a sovereign a country and people, and we are, and that is upside down.
Right. If so, we were, if they,
but
if
see,
they,
in that,
if we,
in that
if
just a second,
money,
in that circulation, that if it was a government, if it was a United States note, you'd still be in debt because a note, a monetary note, is an evidence of debt. And so
yes.
The only way the government could do it, if Congress created it, now you got to understand that they've done their job. Congress did their job. They set up a Bureau of Mint in the Treasury to mint coins, and they do. And they set up a Bureau of Bureau of Printing and Engraving to print the coins, and they do. But the problem is there, then it went to heck, because instead of spending it and putting it into circulation for the benefit of the people without debt to anybody based on production, they put
right.
it in as debt because they sell the coins to the Fed, and then you got to go – buy them with checkbook borrowed money, and the same way with the currency. They buy the currency, and I have letters that says that clear as a bell. And so
mm-hmm.
I even went ahead and I said, okay, I'll send you a note for collateral that I checked, and it was legal collateral. And then you can use that for the collateral. Then I want these Federal Reserve notes, you know, this currency given to me, you know, because I'm buying it just like the Fed does. And, oh, they got real excited. No, you can't do that. That's not allowed. Well, see, it's, again, the same thing is because of the control. And I think that's why so many people can't address it because, oh, my God, if I do that, they'll come after me. I can't. I've got to stay in line. I can't. I owe money. And I talked to a state legislator, and she openly admitted that she owed more in her house than the house was worth. Well, I can't address this because they might foreclose on me and take my house, and then I won't even have a house, period. And
yeah.
I think that's a big deal because they're told, hey, you step out of line and we'll foreclose on you. And most people don't understand. They can foreclose you for any reason that they decide that for some reason you're not going to go along with it, then they can foreclose on it. It don't have to have anything to do with whether you didn't make your payments or not, or whether you couldn't make your payment. I guarantee you that has nothing to do with it. They can foreclose on you any time that they think that you're going to step out of line. And somehow the people sense this, although they don't really know it, but they sense this. And, oh, my gosh, I can't do nothing wrong. I told a legislator one time, and he just got wild. He said, "Why? Don't say that. Don't even talk about things like that. Our money is all based on faith, and they lose the faith, it'll all go away." But
that's
right. That's not true. It's based on debt.
No.
And yes, and you could make the debt go away if you would just follow the Constitution and have them create the money and spend it for things that people need. And one thing you got to have in a country is transportation. You can't get any place, you can't ship any goods. And the nice thing about that, you need it in every town, city, and county, and state, and the whole United States. So they're all needed it all over, and if that money flowed in that way as a payment for people who are doing the work, they would spend it just like when you borrow money, you spend it, and that money floats around. And that's exactly the same way this would work, and the money would float around, except you wouldn't have to pay it back.
Yep.
And you'd be able to get some more money from somebody else when you worked without having raising the debt. And still, like Trump, he's forced to raise the debt.
Well,
and
Byron,
I'm not saying I'm for Trump or against Trump. I think Trump is just an idiot about, like everybody else, about how the money system works.
Well, you
I think
know,
he does some other things
that's
pretty good, but he's totally ignorant about how the money system works.
Well, you know, Rule was talking about whose face is on the money, you know, and if we spend it in the circulation, build these roads and bridges, it would probably just say American currency, $1, $5, whatever, on it. And who would we be serving then? We would be serving ourselves, a free people.
You wouldn't
would
be serving anybody.
Right.
Because if you read that now, it says Fed Reserve note is so much. Well, if they just took off a Fed Reserve note and it says this is legal tender for everything you do, it's United States payment, not note, United States money, then see, you wouldn't have any debt to anybody. And the government wouldn't be in debt for it. People wouldn't be in debt for it. The money would just go in circulation when the production was done that benefited everybody. And now everybody could have it. And see, I was just on Facebook and looking with all these guys upset about capitalism. They don't even understand what capitalism is. They got a stupid, and if you look in the dictionary, it says where the people own everything, you know, for their own benefit. But it's not that the bank owns everything, and that's really what happens. And let's be honest, every recession or depression you've ever had was because the banks caused it by pulling back the money supply. And that's a provable statement.
Yep. And that's the control that we keep living with if we don't want to change this money system. So don't be calling yourself the land of the free, because you're not. And you can pretend all you want, but Byron just gave you a classic example. They're in control. And, President Trump one time in his campaign said he was the debt king, and I was reminded of this when Byron was talking about shifting the debt to someone else. And in business, President Trump has had successes, he's had some failures too. But really, I think in order to be the debt king, you have to have the ability to shift the debt to someone else. Now, you've got the money, and someone else has the debt, and that's how you become the debt king. You're able to shift it to someone else. And, is that really the kind of morality that you want to live with? And it causes a lot of problems, so that when the other people get the debt, they can't make ends meet, and the cost of living is going up, and the purchasing power is going down, then they run to their congressman, and they want to get somebody like Bernie Sanders elected to president because he's going to do all this free crap for everybody. But, you know, the American people don't even ask, okay, so the people that are going to provide these things free, are they going to work for nothing? No. It's not free. It's going to be prepaid. And if we don't change the money system, it's going to be prepaid with borrowed dollars. Okay? And you just have to ask yourself, like the $6 trillion increase in the debt ceiling. Again, we've said this over and over again. Ask the question, who has enough money to lend everybody all that money? And they don't have it. They create it when they lend it.
not something that they have in a jar somewhere. They just create the numbers and lend them into circulation. And the difference needs to be, and the Facebook people need to understand, that's the difference. The numbers need to be spent. And they need to be spent in a way that's earned for producing something we all benefit from that promotes the general welfare, because the medium of exchange should promote the general welfare. Go ahead, Rule.
Well, yeah, and you know, you're exactly right. And going back to this, these coal mine closures in Gillette, Wyoming, when I talked to that woman, one of the things she said is, well, they're trying to reopen them. They're trying to come up with new money. And she said the bank wouldn't loan them, I forget, it was like 25 or 30 million to keep running. And but you know, Trump campaigned on saving the coal industry, and since he's worth billions, you would think, since you know, he's got all this, that he would just make them a loan himself. But I guess, you know, someone who goes around gloating that, yeah, I'm worth billions and I'm worth billions, well, the coal industry that he promised to support, he could sure give them a helping hand. I'm sure they would appreciate it. It would be a good tax write-off for deferment and all that stuff. But fellas,
we have a new guy show up, so just give me a minute and I'll see if he wants to add a comment or he wants a question. And 660-362-2102, have you got a comment or a question?
Morning.
How's your time?
My name's Kevin. I was talking to Rule a couple of weeks ago. And
hi, Kevin.
Sure, go ahead.
It was so good to talk to Rule. He was explaining some things. You know, the Bible gives us a clear principle. You know, the borrower is servant to the lender. And when we sow debt, are we surprised when we're getting all this debt in return? And I guess the thing that really struck me that Rule was explaining was, when we use their product, we have to obey, we have to abide by their rules. And
yep.
We're just so ignorant of their rules in the system. So yep. I'll turn it back over to you.
If you figure out what the rules are and a way around them, then they change the rules.
Yes.
Well, you know, thank you for that, Kevin. And I was thinking, maybe what we really need to do, especially on Wealth Money Radio when we talk about this, is substitute, when we're talking about the banks lend you the money, we substitute the word for, in place of lending, we talk about create the money. And in our personal conversations with people, when you talk to them, it says, if somebody went to the bank and we hear that they got a loan, and you say, oh, so you went to the bank and they created some money for you? And substitute the word create for lend, and it might help us progress a lot farther in developing the understanding of this, because, you know, and even Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, I don't think he used the word create. I think he probably used the word lend in all his conversations, and most of your economic conversations, they all talk about the banks lend it. But if we substitute the word the banks create it, yeah, that might wake up some people. I don't know.
Well, we don't know. You just have to try it. That's all you know. But I remember a long time ago when Ron Paul was in the Congress, and he was questioning one of the Federal Reserve officials, and he accused him of spending all the money, and so much money, and the Federal Reserve guy said, we don't spend it, we lend it. But he should have said, we create it, and then we lend it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lend something we don't have. And it's not hard, because the truth is they don't lend you anything, and it took me a while to really think this through, because when I was first explained to how it works, when you go into the bank to get a loan, well, they say, okay, we'll loan you the money, but you've got to sign a promissory note or maybe a mortgage. And then so that goes on the books of the bank as an asset, and then it's a liability to you. Well, then when they loan you the money, that goes on the books as a liability to the bank and an asset to you. Well, see, if the liability means the same thing in both issues, and it should, it's the same word. Well, when you got the loan, you didn't give them anything. That you just promised to pay them, and that's all the federal, but the banks do. They promise to pay you, and they put the numbers they owe you into your checking account, and now you have new money, or you think you do, and it goes in, but it's clearly, it didn't cost the bank anything, because they don't have to withhold their contract, because you can't force them to, but the borrower, they can enforce him. The courts will go in there and force him. They'll take everything he has if you don't pay the bank, but you can't get the bank to ever pay you what they promised you. It's an impossibility. So it's not much different than they created it. But the truth is, it's theft by deception. They lied to you and deceived you, and then they get a big benefit, and you get debt.
Yeah, you got to pay them interest on their share, but they don't have to pay
absolutely
any interest on yours. Yep. And
oh,
the interest thing don't even work anyway when you understand there is really no money ever created as interest. The interest that we pay is somebody else's loan principal. And you got to understand another part of the whole equation is that when you repay a bank loan, or let's say you make a payment, you have 12 payments and you make a payment, part of that's principal. Initially, a lot of it's interest, but the principal portion of that payment is extinguished. That money doesn't exist. The bank doesn't get that money. It goes away. And so when you understand the extinguishing of money on payment of a loan, then you can understand how the debt constantly grows, because it creates a shortage. And it just causes a spread over time between the money supply and what everybody's charging
Let me explain here a minute what you're saying, because you got to understand, when you borrow the money, and we'll say you borrow $100, that goes in your bank. Now you got $100, okay? And now, so if you took and forget about interest for the moment, now you wrote a check for the bank to pay off that $100, and they got the $100, then That money was created when you got the loan. If you pay the loan off, the money is extinguished. And if you understand that, you clearly see, well, that's why the money is extinguished, because if you borrow $100 and you get the $100, you have the $100, but if you pay it back, then the bank gets the money and your debt goes away. Therefore, the money goes away, and it don't go to the bank. Don't get any benefit of it. It just goes away, just like it got created and you had it when they made it to you. Well, when you pay it back, it just reworks the difference, and the money is extinguished. It don't exist, but your debt don't exist either. If the debt don't exist, there is no money. And
you know,
that's how you really see how this thing works. And once you really see it, you know the whole thing is a con game from day one. But, you know, once you get power and you tell everybody that this is the way it works, and then you laugh and everything at anybody that says that isn't true, well, then you turn the people against them, against the guy that's trying to tell them the truth.
And as long as we got a little bit of time here, I wanted to relate. I went to a meeting, and I had a table set out, and had some books out that we've written on money, and some I had all my a lot of my research papers I got from the Treasury and the Fed and all them different people, and I had a chance to talk to a couple of folks, and I talked to one gentleman, and of course he saw it completely opposite of what I did, but I kept trying to explain to him, and when I got to the point where I said, you know, when you get a loan, the bank just puts numbers in your checking account, and he says, yeah, and then I said, then they hand you a deposit slip, says it's in there, yeah. I said, well, when you write checks, those new numbers, you put new money into circulation that never existed before. And all of a sudden, his eyes got really big. He turned and practically ran away from me. I didn't have a chance to talk to him anymore. But that was the kind of reaction I got. But I did talk to another younger fellow, maybe 25 years old. And we got to talk, and then I asked him, I said, you know, if you had the authority to create money, and you could create it, would you create it and spend it, or would you create it and borrow it from yourself and then spend it. And he looks at me kind of like that was a really stupid question. And he said, well, I just spend it. And I said, yeah, you know. And he goes, and he says, I'd invest it too. And I said, well, why would you need to invest it? Why would you need to invest it? And he stops and he looks at me and goes, I guess I would I? And I said, no, because you can create it. And then I asked him, I said, now, if everybody had to come to you to get it and be in debt to you to get it, what would your limitations be? And he looked at me and he said, I could do whatever I wanted to do. And so
that's
he
and
was,
they do exactly what they want to do.
Yep, exactly. And so these are, you know, some of the reactions you get from people. But a lot of people don't want to talk about it. One lady asked me, said, like, what's this all about? And I said, well, it's about how money's created and put into circulation. And she looks at me like she's never heard that at all, ever. And
no,
said,
they never have heard.
I said, can you tell me how money's created and put into circulation? And she said, I never thought about it. Yet, they're all talking
that's
about it.
That's what almost 100% of them say.
Yeah, but yet they're all talking about money, you know. These people got some money and they did this to some other people, or the government taxed these people and gave it to these people. Our taxes are so high, the prices, I don't get paid enough money, I don't have money on vacation. It goes on and on. They're all talking about money all the time except how it's created. It's like nobody ever thinks about it. And we need to think about it, right?
Well,
I
have a question for Rule. How did the coal company go out of business when all they got to do is dig coal out of the ground and ship it and sell it for more than it costs? How in the heck, unless they had to borrow everything for to get their big shovels and everything they do, how would they possibly go bankrupt?
Well, as the story unfolds, they're blaming, of course, they're blaming previous president under Obama. They said he already started the damage, but the coal company, they said that they were investing in resorts and things outside of the coal company, which, you know, out here, it's if you see the trains moving every day in and out of this, I mean, that right now is the number one job around this area is working for the railroad. I mean, they're hiring all the time. And, you know, they're moving more coal than I think I've ever seen in my life. And yeah, it's mind-boggling. But even a week or 2 weeks prior to, or it was a week before the announcement of the layoffs or the firings, that, you know, they gave them checks and then the checks all bounced. the checks all bounced and so when they all showed up for work, here was Homeland Security guards and the Department of Environmental Quality telling them to get off the property, you'll be arrested. And
so what you're saying, Rule, so what you're saying is probably the coal company had been investing in other things, other business enterprises along the way that weren't doing too well. And they needed some money to kind of keep going, but the banking system said no.
Yep, they said no. So right there, that tells you the banks control it all, don't they? Isn't that neat?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a question. They own it all because they own all the money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to, in fact, the Treasury, Russell Monk wrote me and said, well, you may want to know who. When you get due money from the bank, you might want to know who gets the benefit. Well, the banks do because they own all that money, while the customers merely borrow it and pay interest on it. So even though you're borrowing money, but then see that isn't the whole problem. The problem is now the interest kicks in, and now your growth is growing faster than the amount of money you borrowed. Mm-hmm. So sooner or later, everybody gets in trouble sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And now with Trump, as I understand it, he's pretty bright because when he would start a new business, he would put it in a new whole new name. So if that went bankrupt, it didn't work. It didn't affect the rest of his businesses.
That's because he's
probably why he don't want to have his tax. probably don't want his taxes be, you know, he looked at. And I have no problem with that, but the whole problem is it comes down to the same old thing. If you can work another dirty scam, well, then you can maybe be successful. If you can't, you're going to get hooked with the debt sooner or later, regardless of what you do. And then back in the 80s, I lived through it. The bankers decided they wanted to take a lot of farmers out of business, so they raised the interest to 18 to 22%, and there's no way in heck that in that business you could have that kind of interest rate and stay in business, and they just wiped out millions of them. And,
well,
of course,
man,
all that turned out, and then they turned around and sold it to a few people, so now they're farming just as much land, only there's just a whole lot less people doing it.
Yep, and I remember
always
that.
Because it's the way the bank wants it to go.
I remember that big increase in interest rates because I was calling on a lot of car dealers at the time, and you know, the interest rates for the loans that the banks were creating for car buyers were getting pretty darn expensive with the interest rates hitting 18%. And those old car dealers were shaking their
There's just no way in thunder they could stay in business with that kind of interest rate because the people couldn't buy a car and pay that much interest and make it work. Sooner or later,
well,
they had to return their car.
Plus the fact most of these car dealerships, you know, their inventory is on floor plans.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they borrow the money to buy all the cars, put on a car lot, okay? So they got to pay interest to the bank for the floor plan. So it really had them worried from two standpoints. The ability for them to afford to stay in business and pay those floor plan rates, and the ability of their customers to buy the cars. And
that's right.
Kind of funny.
And
nobody
all comes from what the banks did to them, not from anything else, not what they did, but what the banks did by making certain things go. And that's why I guarantee you, whoever it is trying to create this money, if it ever bothers the banks, I sure guarantee you they'll shut them down.
And so,
and if the banks need a benefit for it, they may let it go a while. But if it ever gets in the road of what they're wanting, I guarantee you they'll shut them down. It won't take long.
Yeah. So if you really want to get anything done about this money system, you know, you could help us push a piece of legislation. We call it the American Transportation Act. Go to wealthmoney.org, and the little slider on the right will come up. It says American Transportation Act. You can click on that and read it. You can download it as a file. Or you can print it off if you want, but it's only, I think, six pages. It's not like Obamacare, 2,000 pages, you know. And that's the way our laws need to be in this country: simple.
And then you can also come to us and get some of the books, you know, Down on the Farm and Modern Money Secrets and Tales from the Treasury, which is probably as good as any because it actually gives you. You can read exactly what the Treasury said, how it works. And so it's not like you're just getting it from some unknown source. The letters are actually signed by the Treasury and on Treasury literature or paper and everything. So it's pretty clear where it came from. And then, you know, you can't, like one guy said, well, you don't think they ever lie to you. And, of course, some of them do and some of them don't. But you've got to be smart enough to know who's lying and who isn't. And the reason you know they're not lying about the debt is because you can always see how much debt it is and how much destruction the debt is causing and how many foreclosures and all this kind of stuff and bankruptcies you have. Well, you couldn't have that if that money wasn't created as debt.
Yep.
It's interest-bearing debt, too.
And all those bad things aren't something like Fed Chairman Powell says is going to happen as injustices to the future generation. These injustices have already occurred, are occurring, and have been occurring for a long time. These injustices have resulted in people losing their families, their homes, their businesses. You know, Byron talked about the recessions when the banks pull back the money supply and shorten up the money supply. There's never any shortage of people, never any shortage of raw resources to make products from. The only thing that causes a big problem is when you have a shortage in the medium exchange so we can trade and trade with each other. That's what causes a problem. It isn't something that's going to happen in the future. It's happening now. And the only thing that's going to happen in the future is
it's
getting worse. Yeah. It's just going to be
ever
worse.
Since the bank got Jefferson put the control of the money into the hands of the bankers. It's happened ever since. And every bankruptcy,
recession.
Where you, yeah, recession or depression. Every one of them is caused by the banks and by the way they control the money. And if you study it, you can clearly see that's true. There's no question that's true. But see, it's just like Greg said earlier, he was talking to the young guy, and he'd never even heard of such a thing. And the woman, I'd never even thought about how money is created. And they've made it so that people don't think about it. Therefore, when somebody's trying to tell them something brand new, oh, that can't be true, because if it was, I'd have heard about it before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
so you
what
need to be able-
Governor of Minnesota said, well, I can't believe you can come here and tell me things that make sense that I haven't heard about before. I don't see how that's possible. So therefore, he wouldn't think about it.
Okay.
And then, of course, when he
ran
for president, the first thing he did was run to the banks to get lots of money to campaign with.
Yep. And then when he failed to become president, he went to work as a lobbyist for the largest banking concern in the nation. And so he wasn't going to really care about the citizens of Minnesota or the citizens of the United States. Just shows right there he just cared about himself. And we need to walk through our lives going forward and talk to people about all the money is created as debt. The banks create all the money, and we need to change it. The money needs to be spent into circulation. Otherwise, we're economic slaves, and we are, whether you want to admit it or not. But until you admit it, you're never going to know the truth. Until you know the truth, you're never going to be able to help make the change. It needs to be changed. Let's have America that's land of the free and home of the brave. Let's practice being brave.
Yeah, but there is no brave people anymore, I don't think. I don't run into very many brave people that really want to address the truth. But, you
know
if more people would do it, then it would be different. Because if more people did it, the more people that did it, the more people would get the nerve to do it. And then we would make change. We could make change. We could get in control. And we could put the banks out of business. And you don't have to put the banks out of business at the part about where you can deposit your money there and then write checks. I mean, that's not the problem. The problem is they create all the money as interest-bearing debt. And you can't win. There's no way you can ever win that game. They'll always control everything as long as they control that. And you can't just create the money for everything. You've got to create money for things that benefit everybody in a beneficial way. And that's why you go back to the Constitution and you do it to pay for roads and bridges and post roads and post offices, what it clearly says in clear English, what they should be spending it on. And then when you do that, that money goes into all over the nation. And basically the bigger population, the more roads you'll need and the more money you'll move in that area. So it's a absolutely thing that cannot fail and will always work for the benefit of everybody.
Yeah, it'll
but
be
you
got
to spend some time and think about it, and then actually spend a lot of time trying to tell it to everybody you know, your friends and your relatives and who else.
Yep. And it'll be, they're all looking for sustainability. You've heard that buzzword, haven't you? Well, you're not going to have any sustainability in anything until you have a money system that is sustainable. And the only one that's sustainable is a debt-free wealth money system. And I agree with Byron. There aren't a lot of brave people out there. But there's a few, and it was a few that basically fought to get this country free from the king. And it's people like, for example, Kevin just called in today. I mean, he didn't know anything about this till a little while back, and he seems to understand it and be concerned about it. And Rule was that way too. And I wanted to see if Rule, if he's still there, if he would relate to me. Remember when you told me that when you first called into the show, that you called in three times because you were afraid of, you know what I'm talking about, Rule?
Yeah, when you've been suppressed and oppressed for so long, it's hard to see outside that paradigm. But once you take that leap outside, when I first got acquainted with wealth money, I was fairly new to studying the whole money situation, and in the back of my mind, it's like, well, if I take a step, then they're gonna think I'm crazy, or they're gonna cease, come after me or whatever. But the reality is, this is a time now of of boldness. This is a time, I mean, even, you know, the funny thing is, you look at the political spectrum, it can't even function anymore, and people are sitting back, you know, afraid. It's a time now to be bold, because when everything's unraveled, they can't, if they're fighting, they're too caught up fighting each other to spend their time, you know, trying to think about what we're talking about or thinking about. People need to get involved with the local community and not be afraid. More afraid of you or me.
So how many times did you call into the show before you finally talked? You told me like 3 times. I want to know about that part.
I would call up and go, well, you know, I would call up and I was more just afraid to get my voice heard out there, because I didn't feel like I had anything to offer. Two, I had read Byron's story, and who wants a bunch of bankers showing up at your door, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just all the stuff that runs through your head, and then it's denial. Well, you know, there's nothing really somebody like me can do, and, you know, those lies you believe, the lies of deception, the whole lies of that they want you to believe, because fear is the number one destroyer of anything you do. If you're afraid of your enemy, you've already lost the battle. And
that's right.
So you can't, you know, what's there to be afraid of?
So then finally, after numerous attempts, you did talk on Wealth Money Radio, right?
Absolutely.
How'd you feel after the first time you talked?
It was liberating. it was like taking a load off, and being around people with like-mindedness and realizing that there's a real problem to be real concerned about and to take real action about. And, you know, and once you're a part of that solution, you feel more of a patriot than you ever have in your life, I guess, you know.
Is Kevin still with us? Is he got
And I guarantee you, you made some people that is involved with Wealth Money, you made them a lot being happier. Let me tell you.
Sure. Yeah, no, Kevin and I are childhood friends, so he was up here visiting, and we had quite a long talk, and I appreciated him calling in, and, you know, to be reacquainted.
Oh, you and me both.
So after like 30 years, to be reacquainted with a childhood friend and whatnot, it's really a blessing. So hopefully he's listening and can hear those words.
Yes, I appreciate that, Rule. I just wanted to back up what Greg had to say. The number one reason for divorce is financial problems. And as Greg was saying, this debt is destroying families and businesses, and so it's a spiritual battle.
Amen. Well, I see our time is about up, so if anybody has a few more words to say, I'll give you time to say it, and then I think I hear the music coming. Go ahead if anybody has anything to say.
Well, thank you, Kevin and Rule and Byron, and tell your friends and tell your enemies, and let's get together next Saturday on Wealth Money Radio.
Greg wants to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Thank you. Byron and Greg, thank you for your support.